or at KBC.
If you still, you know, get me some KBC. And what do you get? Nothing particularly encouraging. But finally, we're going to... So with that great good news, I mean, let's just put our hands together for just what God is doing. So from there, we're going to go straight into our lesson for today. But before we do that, let us pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for just, you know, the opportunity we have to be able to come together and serve you and just, you know, I mean, just be a part of your worldwide family, Heavenly Father. Yeah. Thank you for your word. Your word that truly does transform, Heavenly Father. Your word that gives life, Heavenly Father, oh Lord. Your word that just helps us to be able to learn how we should live in a world of ever increasing wickedness, Heavenly Father, oh Lord. Yeah. I pray that I was about to get into the sermon today. I pray that even if I myself am an obstacle to your message, I pray that you move me out of the way, Heavenly Father, oh Lord. I pray that if there is any way that my speech will take away from just, you know, the impact of your message, please, dear Lord, I pray, Lord, that, you know, you just, whatever it is that you need to do for your message to get through to us, Father, please, let that be done, Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time. I am so grateful for this opportunity and this privilege to share with your people. It's just an honor. Thank you, thank you so much, dear Father. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, like I said, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
And of course, happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers in the house. You know, it's very encouraging, of course, just to be able to see what the Bible says about mothers. You know, if you go to Proverbs chapter 31, it talks about the woman, the wife of noble character. But also some sections there, when it talks about her, you can tell that this she was a mother as well, too. In Proverbs 31, right? Proverbs 31, and if you look at, from verse 25. I mean, look at what it says in verse 25 there. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, and isn't this the truth?
Yeah.
You look at mothers. Mothers are like, so hardworking. I remember my mom, man, for like the longest time, this woman, 4:30 a.m. or even 4 a.m. sometimes, she's awake. And during my naughty years, I've been asleep. Sorry, I've been awake through the night playing video games. Mm-hmm. And then at 4 a.m., I just hear the door open. You know, don't worry about the rest of that story. Just, you know, I'm alive. That's what's important. You know, but of course, he helps you understand and just see how Solomon describes her with noble character. And he just, you know, it helps you to see just the kind of woman she is, even as a mother as well, too.
Yeah.
Not just as a wife. But also, I found a quote about motherhood. I found a quote about motherhood, mm-hmm. which is quite profound. It says, motherhood is a choice you make every day. To put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own. To teach the hard lessons. To do the right thing, even when you're not sure what the right thing is. And to forgive yourself over and over again for doing everything wrong. I was like, isn't that the truth about motherhood? Right? Our mothers are not perfect.
Yeah.
Do they make mistakes? Of course they do.
Yep.
But you know, even for all the things they get right alone, man, right? It's more deserving. All the things that they get right is just enough for them to be deserving of all of our honor.
Yeah.
For us to respect them, to lift them up, to encourage them. You know, one day in the year is not enough.
Yep.
Yes, I know they've been talking about how Mother's Day is like 4 in the year or something. Uh-huh. I think it's like 3. I don't know. Is that 3 or 4? If I remember, you know. But really, every day should be Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You know, we should encourage our mothers every single day, right? You guys are quiet a lot. I don't understand. Is it that you don't understand what I'm talking about? Am I speaking Greek or a different other language? I said our mothers should be encouraged every single day. Yeah. So let's sound like it, amen.
Amen.
We're quite quiet. We're very, very quiet. I don't really understand it.
Let's go.
You know, don't let me get into my jokes today. There's no time for jokes. Let's turn our Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Right here today, we're going to talk about wisdom.
Let's go, bro.
As we continue in our book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to talk about wisdom. In Proverbs 1, verse 20 to verse 23, this is what it says. It says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. on top of the wall, she cries out. Man, this wisdom is quite loud, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't speak in coded places. Nope. Like, where I want everybody to see me and hear my voice.
Yeah.
Right? On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes a speech. How long will you, who are simple, love your simple ways?
Wow.
Now, you might think simple means, well, I'm not a complicated person. Actually, that's not what simple means. Simple means somebody who is morally deficient. There isn't a single fiber of morality in your body. So when someone says, hey, you're quite simple-minded, it's not a compliment. It's not a compliment. What they are saying is that you're not sharp. What they are saying is that you're quite foolish.
That's true, bro.
And it goes on here to be able to say, how long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings. So this is amazing. Wisdom is out there in public, yelling and calling out aloud, and saying, look, you need me.
Yep, that's true, bro.
How long will you continue down the path you are going down? How long will you continue to do the same things and ending up with the same results? So you keep doing the same things, hoping to get a different result,
yeah.
Right? You keep sleeping late, hoping to wake up early.
Talk about
that
it, bro.
Doesn't work.
You keep procrastinating that assignment, or that project, or that report.
Yeah.
Thinking that you come out with an A when you did it last minute.
Hey, talk about it, bro.
Right? You keep hoping that somehow they would see your lackadaisical attitude to work. Getting late to work, being difficult to work with, and you expect that when promotion comes up, your name should be on the first on the list for that promotion.
Let's go.
Right? That's what wisdom is saying. Calling out there and saying, hey, when will you listen? Right? And interestingly here, that's what we see right here that wisdom is talking about. Right? We see right there, it says, it calls out aloud, but are we listening? Do we hear our cries? And it's quite interesting, eh? It gives wisdom a feminine gender.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Right? Because a godly woman is wise.
Man.
Yeah, a godly woman is wise. So today, but with wisdom shouting out aloud, you know, they're not shouting out somewhere. It says they're in the public square. They're in town, right there where the matatus are. With a megaphone. And she's asking you, how long will you continue down this path? But the question is, are we listening? Are we going to hear? How long will you keep on taking shortcuts? How long will you keep on putting off what is right? Today, we're going to talk about wisdom. And the title of my lesson is The World's Perspective of Wisdom. As we continue the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to be talking about, you know, how does the world view wisdom? What is wisdom according to the world's definition, according to the world's perspective, according to the world's lens? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. You know, last week, what did we talk about? If anyone who remembers, what did we talk about last week?
Death.
Aha. Yeah. There are many more people that were here last week than table. There are many more people that were here too.
Yeah,
but table was alone that spoke out loud. What did we talk about last week?
Talk about death, bro.
Yes, and how death is our inevitable destiny.
Yeah. Come on.
We talked about how death is our inevitable destiny. Right? Death does not discriminate. Death does not discriminate. It does not look down on people.
Yeah.
It is the equalizer. You are rich, you are poor. You are black, you are white. You are East African, you are West African. You grew up with a silver spoon, you grew up in the slums.
Yep.
Death is the equalizer of everything. Educated, uneducated is the common destiny that befalls everybody.
Yes.
Right? Nobody lives forever. That's what I talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about how does the world view wisdom? What is wisdom according to the world's perspective? In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll pick it up in verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll pick it up in verse 13. It says, I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now, there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Moving on to chapter 10. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are. Amen. Amen. Solomon wasn't here to play. He wasn't here to play. You don't like what I have to say? Close your ears. that was Solomon for you. Right? He wasn't here to play. But you see, my first point here is simple. According to the world's perspective, strength of might is better. According to the world's view of wisdom, strength of might is better. You see, the world equates power with wisdom. If you are powerful, then you are wise. Because you're very cunning to get into that position of power. Or you planned it well to be able to get to that position of power that you have. But that's not necessarily true. It is believed that if you're in a position of power, prestige, popularity, then you're wise. Then you have some wisdom to impart or pass on. Isn't that the case?
Yes.
When someone becomes a social media influencer and they go from having 0 followers to now having 1,000 followers, then 5,000, then 10,000, 15,000. Oh my goodness. Now that person is going to give, a master class on how to grow your online presence.
Yeah. Talk about it. That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
The nature of the politics, you see, we see the same thing with politics today. Right? Yeah. Now, the nature of politics today is that, if you are powerful, if you have power, if you're in a position of power, then that means you're wise. But that's not necessarily the case. Because the world perceives strength as the way to survive in this world. That's why you hear things like the battle goes to the strong. The race goes to the swift. Ferdinand Omanyala.
Yeah.
Fastest man in Africa.
Second.
He's second now.
No, bro, it's too fast.
Be careful. you're a long way from home. Yeah, a long way from home. Some are asked to see you after the service. It's not necessarily a good thing. It's quite interesting that we view things in this way. You know, how the world views strength. But you see, the wisdom of the world is not necessarily wise. Actually, it is not even wise at all. Right? Because think about it. If it was about strength, that means Jesus, when he came to earth, should have come like with a whole army, deposed the Roman emperor, and ruled the world from Rome. Remember when he was about to be arrested, and they're like, hey, and then Peter went and took that sword, and went for the high priest's servant. Thank goodness this guy was fast. The guy goes, but the ear came off. Right? The year came off and Jesus healed the year. But Jesus told him, look, I have 12 legions of angels. A legion is about 6,000 soldiers. So 12 legions of angels is 6,000 times 12. That's 72,000. In the Bible, it's recorded that one angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 soldiers.
Yeah.
Just one. And Jesus had 72,000 at his disposal. It's not going to matter how much, how large the Roman army was. It's not important. That would have been a battle that, even Julius Caesar himself, he was alive then, cannot. He can try, but he cannot. And you see right there, but if that was the case, if strength really was how what shows that you're wise, then Jesus should have come in his full might. Not as a capital son. What can a capital son do? But you see, what we believe as Christians what we believe as Christians, the world views as foolishness.
That's true. Yeah.
Talk about it.
Right. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. Yeah. Right. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Right. But the question here is, do we find the message of the cross, do we see that as foolishness as well?
Talk about it.
What are your thoughts about the message of the cross? Do you find it as foolishness as well too?
No.
Or do you see it differently?
Come on.
You know, what Jesus taught is foolishness to the world. If you go to Matthew 5.
Let's go, bro.
What Jesus taught throughout his life, how he lived, in fact, was foolishness to the world. Even his disciples couldn't understand it. Even the Jews couldn't understand it. Because they wanted to make him king. Like, this guy has power. Let's go make him king and depose his Roman emperors. But Jesus would just slip away from amongst them. Just slip a slide. You know? And they wouldn't know where he went to. Where is he? Where is he? Ah, he was here just now. Let's go and make him king. But in Matthew 5, you know, during the Sermon on the Mount, look at verse 38. You know, all these things, imagine someone said all these things today, in the world we live in today. Imagine the kind of reception they would get. How foolish people would look at them. Sorry, my part is acting up.
Let's go, bro.
Imagine how foolish they look at them. In Matthew 5 from verse 38.
Right there.
All right. Look at what it says. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for eye, and tooth for tooth," which is true. Right? But Jesus now says this, verse 39. "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." Ah. Excuse me. In these streets, someone comes and strikes me on the face. You tell me to do what? I wasn't raised in such a way.
Okay.
If the person wants to go, we go. If the person wants to find out, they will find out.
Come on.
If they want to catch these hands, it will be caught.
Let's go, bro.
But Jesus said, no. Someone strikes you on the cheek, tell them, hey, turn the other side. And strike as well too. What does Jesus say? He says, "And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well." Hey, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. He says, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." That, to the world, is foolish. Imagine you did all this today. Wow. Someone comes and says, "Hey, give me your shirt." And you're like, "Oh, okay. Do you want the coat as well?" It's probably the person standing beside you that will slap you like, "Ah, is there something wrong with you?" I want you to tell them, "I'm obeying the Bible." Which Bible?
Talk about it, bro.
Which Bible?
Uh-huh.
Right? Not the one I read, right?
Right.
I mean, if you keep on going, go to the next part, verse 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
You don't like me, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Okay? It's mutual.
Yeah.
Stay over there, I stay over here.
Yeah.
You are my G. You're my G. Hey, what's up, homie? Now, listen what Jesus has to say. Verse 44. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you."
Wow.
By today's rules, well, if they persecute me, I will pray for them. It's a question of the content of the prayer. There's a particular church in Nigeria that is built on the basis of praying to destroy your enemies.
Wow.
When they pray for their enemies, it is clear what they want for their enemies.
Let's go, bro. Let's talk about it.
I didn't name any names. But I feel like you already know.
Yes.
I'm sure you have your version here in Kenya. When they tell you to pray for your enemies, it is evident what you are praying for your enemies.
Yes.
There's no question about it. There's no doubt.
Yes.
Am I right or am I right?
Yes.
But it continues on, right? It says, verse 45, "that you may be children of your Father in heaven."
Yeah.
That's why they try to say, if I pray for my enemies, if I pray for those who persecute me, those who oppose me, then that shows me to be a child of my Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do the opposite, whose child am I?
Exactly.
Aha. But that doesn't usually apply to people. It's like, no, what? No, 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 the Bible doesn't say that. Let's keep on going. It says here, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. It causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. This is quite convicting, what Jesus is saying here. He says you should go and treat people that hate you, your enemies, go and treat them like friends. He says if you treat your friends as friends and enemies as enemies, there's no difference between you and somebody who does not believe in God.
That's true.
Because they do the exact same thing. Yeah. So what stands you out? What makes you different? If you do the same thing as someone who doesn't believe in God, what makes you different?
Well, talk about it. Not time.
You're probably looking at me like, is this the same Bible I've been reading all this time? Yes, it is. You see, the world views what Jesus teaches,
yes,
or what the Bible says, as foolishness.
Yeah.
Do you also view it as foolishness too?
Ask us, bro.
Come on.
All right. But that said, one thing we have to realize is the world does not appreciate godly wisdom. So it has no reason to remember it. If you look at all the monuments and all the pillars, whatever it is that has been built in the world today, has it been to godly men?
Nope.
No. It has been to strong men. Powerful men. There's the statue of Jomo sitting in the courtyard of the KICC. Powerful man. Isn't not Jomo that's sitting down there?
Yes.
Powerful man.
Man.
They're gonna construct a statue of Julius Nyerere, Mwalimu, at Addis Ababa.
Yes.
Powerful man. I think somewhere in Uganda there's a statue of Idi Amin somewhere there. I'm sure there's a statue somewhere. You know, you gotta tell me, you have not been to all of Uganda. Somewhere there is something that is built in commemoration to Idi Amin Dada.
Possible, bro.
I'm Nigerian. We have dictator Sue. We did. In Botswana, there is a white rhino sanctuary commemorated to the father of the nation.
Yes.
In apparently, temples from the same village as Seretse Kama.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I just learned that this week. Same village, Serowe. But you see, that's what the world does. They commemorate strength.
Yes. That's
so because true. To the world, strength of mind is better. But if you're living according to, and what that shows you is, it shows you what the world pays attention to. It doesn't pay attention to godly wisdom. So which means, if you want to live according to godly wisdom, and you expect a pat on the back, or you expect a statue in your name, or you expect some kind of accolade, or some kind of, you know, praise, some kind of, you know, endorsements, from the world, you're in for a surprise.
Talk about it.
Bro.
It is not going to come. That is if you want to live according to godly wisdom. Because godly wisdom is not recognized, at least not in this world.
Yeah.
And even though godly wisdom can save a person's life, like it says in the script in Ecclesiastes, even though it can save a person's life, right, they forget to give honor to whom it is due. Honor isn't given to that godly person, that person who has godly wisdom. And so what that shows is, a lot of the time, wise, godly men need to be content with the satisfaction, or just with the knowledge that they did something wise.
Talk about it, bro.
I mean, if you do something wise, you do something good, you do something that is wise according to God's word, and there is no applause, there is no... There's no red carpets. There's no motorcade. And then the banner comes with you. There's nothing like that. They didn't close down Waiyaki Way and fill up Yayo Stadium to commemorate you. There was nothing of that nature. You have to be content with the fact that you did what was wise.
Talk about it, bro.
Because there's no plaudits in this world.
Yeah.
But if you go to John chapter 12 quickly, wow, right? Just a quick deviation. John chapter 12 quickly. right? In John 12, in verse 47. No, not 47, sorry, my bad. John 12, if you look in verse 42, right? It says, John 12, 42. It says, yet at a time, at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. What kind of praise do you love?
Ask us, bro.
If you want to show the strength, you will get the praise of men. Right? You want to show that, man, after you get the praise of men. But if you want to show godly wisdom, there's no praise of men. Just praise from God. And praise from God is not instant.
Yep, that's so true, bro.
Praise from God does not come in this world.
Yes.
It does not. It does not. You want a pat on the back? You're going to have to wait a long time.
That's true.
You want applause for doing what is wise? You're going to have to wait a very long time. Wow. And that is living a long life of doing what is wise throughout.
Amen.
You can't get tired of it. You can't get down about it. That's what it takes to live according to godly wisdom. Let's get back to Ecclesiastes.
Come on.
You know, one of the pieces of wisdom I got from my mother, today being Mother's Day, you know, my mother gave me nuggets of wisdom. One of them I got from my mom is, she said, never lend someone an amount of money you are not willing to forgo.
Okay.
Never lend someone an amount of money you are not willing to forgo.
Yeah, that's so true.
Which is, someone comes to you and says, hey man, please borrow me 50,000 shillings. If you know that money, if that money is not returned, you will not have peace of mind. Then it is helpful that you do not borrow them 50,000 shillings.
Talk about it.
Rather, borrow them an amount that if they're not really, if they're not able to pay you back, it will not ruin your friendship.
Yeah.
That's something I've applied so well, man. Why she told me that, I was like, I applied it so much in my life. So they, if a friend comes up to me and says, borrow me this amount, the amount you will get is the amount that I know, if you walk away with it, it's fine.
Because
I'm not going to give you power to now make me struggle because you did not keep your word.
Yeah.
Point number two. We'll go back to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 from verse 4. It says, if a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. That's true. You see, this is one of the things I love about my mother-in-law is that she's not rash. She doesn't blow up. She manages a department in one of the biggest banks in Nigeria.
Come on.
That's my wife's mother. You know, she's not rash. She doesn't, you know, when you have all these kind of bosses or these colleagues, when something goes on, you just blow up. Brother, you're just so stupid. She's not that kind of leader. She's not that kind of manager. She's the kind of person where you mess up. Right? You messed up. You didn't. She's like, okay. No problem. And I find that to be the most dangerous people.
Yes, that's so true, bro.
Because somebody who is loud and explodes, they know what they are thinking.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. You did this, blah. That one I can take down.
Yeah.
I've had a couple during my professional years.
Yeah.
But she does ones that are just quiet. Those ones. Because what they make you feel like I have to be looking over my shoulder.
Yes.
They've not said anything. They've not raked. They've not blown up. Nothing. You're like, what's gonna happen? When is it going to go south? Should I be watching my child? Is it going to be poisoned? Like, you don't know when it's going to come or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And she's like that. Well, she doesn't blow up. She takes her time to really process and think through. And then when she responds gently as well too. Those kind of people like that, in my experience, they end up being very effective leaders. Very effective leaders. Because people don't know what you're thinking all the time. They're not sure. They don't know how to read you. So they'd rather stay on the safe side and fall in line. Because they don't know what's going to happen. But again, we're talking about the worldly perspective of wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Let me continue in verse 5. But truly, calmness helps.
Yeah.
Because it takes two people to get into a disagreement or a dispute. So if you have one party that is like, and that person is just calm, that person has to calm down.
Yeah.
Mm. But if it's, if you're matching each other's levels, right? It's just going to continue like that. But one person goes, and you're just down here.
Let's go,
come back down. You see, the Bible teaches it. Verse 5. There's an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot, like slaves. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be beaten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. Second point, well, according to the world's perspective of wisdom, merit means nothing. You see, the truth is, life is not fair. That's another wisdom that we can benefit from. It's not a matter of like, if I do all this, if I do everything right, if I do it the way I'm supposed to do it, if I do this, then my success will come. Not necessarily. You've heard people say before that life is not fair. It's not. If life was fair, Jesus shouldn't have ended up on the cross.
Yeah, that's so true, bro.
Right? Innocent men, if life is fair, innocent men should not be dying of capital punishment. If life is fair. But it, so the thinking that we can have that if we do what is right, then we will get our due merits. That is a very false level of thinking. It's not just naive, it's also immature. Right? It's not just naive, it's also immature. Right? If life was fair, the wicked should not be getting what the righteous deserve. And the righteous should not be getting what the wicked deserve. We read that in Ecclesiastes a couple of chapters ago.
Come on.
We say like in the world, the wicked get what the righteous deserve. And the righteous get what the wicked deserve.
Yep.
If life was fair, why should that be happening? If life was fair, why should the rich go keep on getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer? Even though the poor work twice as hard or 10 times as hard. But that's the state of the world. Right? We should not be looking for fairness in this world. It does not exist.
Let's go, bro.
It doesn't exist. Because from this series we've been doing, we've established that this world is not the world, it's not what God intended. The reason why there's wickedness in the world is not because God is sleeping or something. No. It's because of sin. The reason why we have the level of wickedness we have in this world is because we continue to sin. People continue to sin. And where there's a person of ever increasing sin, there'll be ever increasing wickedness as well too. You know, the world is filled with oppression, injustice, and wickedness because of sin.
Yeah, come on.
So how can we expect fairness from such a world as this? If there was even fairness, what do you think that fairness would look like? If there was any kind of fairness in the world, what do you think it would look like with all the oppression and wickedness that's around? If we say we want fairness, let them be fair.
Yeah.
What would that fairness look like? You see, we know about nepotism.
Yeah.
Right. Nepotism is the practice of, you know, filling up roles or positions of leadership with people that you're familiar with, not necessarily people of merit.
Yeah.
Right? So you are the president, you put your brother as Minister of Defense. Not because he has been trained to think strategically and intelligently, but because he's your brother. You put him Minister of Defense, Ministry of Defense, or Ministry of Petroleum. Or you put him as Cabinet Secretary of Finance.
Yep.
Cabinet Secretary of Mineral Resources.
Let's go, bro.
Right? And besides, what he went to school for was fine arts. Whereas the person who has an entire history of just working in the financial sector, that's none of your business. That's the world we live in.
That's true.
I've been watching some biographies recently, right? African biographies. It's quite interesting stuff. It's compelling. So different countries, I've been watching different biographies. You know, I watched a biography about Milton Obote, Apollo Milton Obote of Uganda.
Right.
You know, watched one about Idi Amin Dada of Uganda as well too. I'm making my way to Tanzania. I'm going to go to Tanzania next. I'm going to watch one of Nyerere, Mwalimu. Apparently, there was a huge battle between Uganda and Tanzania back in the 70s.
Yes.
What? Man, so Nyerere is not just a teacher.
No.
Man did not back down.
Man, did not.
Anyway, let me let that go. I was like, man, this guy was serious. When it was time to be serious, he talked. When it was time to talk. But when it was time to send the army out, he sent the army out.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But anyway, that's not the point of this. But you see, there's nepotism. And I remember watching this biography of the president of Equatorial Guinea, Francisco Nguema. Apparently, the same family has been ruling Equatorial Guinea from their independence. They've only had two presidents.
Wow.
And they won their independence, I think, in the 1960s. Either mid-1960s or late-1960s. They've only had two presidents. You think Uganda is bad? No, it's not. They've only had two presidents. The first person, brutal dictator, and then the second person was his nephew who deposed him through a coup. The nephew has been in power since then. Equatorial Guinea, since then. And guess what? The nephew, that's the so-called nephew, current president, he created two positions of vice president. There's first VP and second VP. So he had appointed somebody as first VP. He now appointed his son as second VP.
Wow.
After some years, he promoted his son to the position of first VP.
Wow.
All right. Now, if you see the lifestyle of this son, mm-hmm. on social media, this guy is buying villas in Spain.
Wow.
He's buying yachts. Yeah, he has this boat or this yacht in LA. While he's cruising on it, he's taking videos, taking pictures, dancing with ladies that are dressed in carnival dressing in Brazil. He's taking pictures. Vice president of Equatorial Guinea.
Wow.
He's having to answer for cases. In case there was a case he had in the US, right, where they seized all his assets and they only released some of it, or they only let him go when he willingly gave up $30 million.
Wow.
$30 million. Again, he had to forego it to the US government. That's when they dropped the charges. That's just one of the many cases that he's had. Vice President of Equatorial Guinea.
Wow.
Let's go, bro.
You want fairness in this world? It does not exist. You can work hard. Now, this is not saying you should not work hard. You should.
Yeah.
You should be hardworking, because nobody's going to hand anything to you. But if you want fairness in this world, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That is the world's perspective of wisdom. My third and final point. Let's go back. Third and final point. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 11. It says, if a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. Words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning, their words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness, and fools multiply words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? The toil of fools wearies them. They do not know the way to town. Woe to the land whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. True laziness, the rafters sag because of idle hands. The house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Now, these are different proverbs of just, you know, some of the wise things to do, right? Different ones. If a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. That's true, because the job of the charmer is to charm the snake. So if the snake bites a person, then you haven't done your job.
Yep.
Right? It's like someone was called in to install I don't know, a piece of equipment, whether an air conditioning or a cooker, a gas cooker. If it doesn't work, if the gas cooker doesn't ignite, why should I pay you?
Talk about
you come back here and finish the job, and then I pay you.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly what that teaches. It teaches a lot of other things as well, too. But, it talks about, even the last scripture talks about quarrying stones. There's a nice proverb about that one. I won't get into that today. But it talks about a lot of proverbs, right? It talks about, blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth, whose princes do not just they don't just focus on partying, but they eat for strength. They don't look to get drunk, but they look to lead their people. Mm-hmm. Those people are blessed. Who are those kind of leaders? It talks about, you know, laziness as well, too. You know, you can't accomplish anything when you're lazy.
Yeah.
No. The only thing you accomplish is the dents you have in your bed. You got nothing else is accomplished aside that. But what I want to focus on here, the third point is the powerful don't watch their tongue. According to the world's perspective of wisdom, if you are powerful, there's no need to watch your tongue or watch how you speak. All right, for those that work in offices,
mm-hmm.
corporate offices, you probably have experienced something like that before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You probably experienced something like that before. You have a boss who just rains abuses and curses.
Yeah.
Just using, I'm like,
yeah.
I remember when I was in that world, I was like, this guy. But I was very fortunate, thank goodness, a lot of people that I worked with, the bosses I worked under were not that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had departments, their bosses were just outrageous.
Let's go, bro.
You see, there's a wise way to use our tongue, and there's an unwise way to use it.
Yeah.
There's a wise way to use your speech, and an unwise way to use it. There's nothing wrong with speaking.
No.
But do you know how to talk? Right? Do you know when to talk, or do you just run your mouth? And I spoke to one of those people that runs his mouth.
Let's go, bro. Come on, Tolani.
And a couple of people told me, bro, you talk too much. To my face. They didn't say it behind my back. He said it to my face. He said, bro, you just talk too much.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Come on.
Was it true? Oh, yes, it was true. All right. And for many people that like me, if you're like me, I like to talk. You like to talk. Maybe you like to hear yourself speak. You like the sound. You like the sound of your own voice. Like, you know.
You just
want to hear yourself speak, right? And in the same way, are you careful with your words? Usually, people that talk a lot, they don't realize when they just say what they're not supposed to say. Chop, 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 bang. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. Was it really not? You know, I remember one time growing up, I had this older cousin. I was feeling some things about some things, though. That's none of my business. So he said something hurtful to me. Something very hurtful. And the funny thing was, when I was way younger, this was in my teens, when I was way younger than my teens, this same cousin used to be my favorite cousin. Played all this time together. When I got to my late teens, this guy just switched. And so he said something very helpful to me one time. When I got home, I told my mom about it. I was like, man, this guy said this. I have it in mind to say this back to him. And my mom, being the wise woman that she is, you know what she said?
What did she say, bro?
She said, it's not the right time to speak.
Wow.
The time will come for you to talk. Mm-hmm. And then you do that then.
Let's go, bro.
Come on.
Okay. I'll wait for the right time. The right time hasn't come yet. No, it hasn't come yet. But that's what I'm very wise. If you're rash with your speech, you don't think before you speak. All right? You're going to do a lot of harm to yourself. A lot of harm to yourself. You see, in Matthew 12, Look at, and this is the ham I'm talking about. In Matthew 12, I'm bringing it in for a close. In Matthew chapter 12, if you look in verse 33 to 37. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. All right, Matthew 12, 33 says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. That's interesting. But it goes on, it says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So depending on what comes out of your mouth, it tells people what is in your heart. Verse 35, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Hey! It says, you will give an account of every empty word that you speak. But think about it. If somebody speaks empty words, it shows that inside of them, they are
empty.
There we go.
That's true, bro.
You speak what the heart is full of. So if the words you speak are empty words, you're only telling people that, look, I am an empty person. There we go.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. You take an empty barrel, an empty drum, and you roll it down. But take a barrel that is full of water or any other liquid, and you roll it. You barely hear anything.
Yeah.
You barely hear anything. You know, if you go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 from verse 27 to 28. Proverbs 17, 27 to 28. It says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues.
Wow.
Proverbs 17, 27 to 28. Isn't that crazy? It says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. They self-control with their speech. I said, even somebody who is foolish is thought wise when they keep short. That's crazy. That's all I need for people to think I'm a fool. All I need for people to think I'm wise is to keep my mouth short.
Come on, that's
wow. Come on, Tolani.
I know.
And it's true, because people are like, do you know him? No. Do you hear what he said? No. The person is just quiet. But when they open their mouths, you're like, okay. It's not all there. But for the people that are quiet, it is very inspiring. Also in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, how should we use our speech then? You know, how should I use my tongue? Even if you get find yourself in the position of power, is that now a license to just speak anyhow? No, it's not. Ephesians 4, verse 29 lets us know how we should use our speech. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You have to ask yourself, when you open your mouth to speak, does it build up those that are around you? Or does it tear them down? Right? When you open your mouth to speak, you need to ask yourself, before you even speak, ask yourself, would it benefit those that are listening to me? What benefit would this be to the people I'm saying this to?
Okay.
Before you even speak, ask yourself that question. Right? Ask yourself, like, Because if you're not self-controlled enough to do that, if you're not self-controlled enough to ask yourself that kind of question, like, man, is this going to be beneficial? Is it going to build up the person I'm saying this to? If you don't have the self-control to do that before you open your mouth and speak, it shows the perspective of wisdom you have. Because according to the world, if you're in a position of power, rather than to watch what I say to anybody, I say whatever I like to anyone. I say whatever it is. You know how many wars have begun because somebody said whatever they liked? You know how many things have gone bad because somebody said whatever they liked? But that's the world's perspective. That's what the world calls wisdom. In closing, let's go to James 3. In closing, James chapter 3. You know, the point today is that looking at the perspective of wisdom from the world's perspective and then from God's perspective. And James, in James 3, of course, James being the half-brother of Jesus, all right, this was something I didn't know as I studied the Bible. I was like, wait, the book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. He wrote this. And look at what he says in verse 13. You know, look at what it says in verse 13, from verse 13 to verse 18. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Now, good life here is not, make a raid. No, that's not what good life is here.
Yeah.
Right? Let them show it by their good life. What's the good? What does it mean? By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in quotes, does not come down from heaven, which shows you that according to the world, bitter envy and selfish ambition is seen as wisdom. In the world, it is wisdom for you to be selfishly ambitious. If you need to put people down so that you can get up, go ahead and do it. That's okay. If you need to slander somebody else or ruin somebody else's image because it will benefit you and elevate you or make you look good, go ahead and do it. I mean, we see that in political campaigns.
Yeah.
It's something called smear campaigns. Right? But that's the way of the world. It goes on here. It says, verse 14, but if you have a bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Wow. Selfish ambition is demonic. Verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Every evil practice. Whatever practice you can think about. It says here that the source of it is envy and selfish ambition. Why do people go into kidnapping? Why do they go into ritual killings? Why do people run for political office? Why? Why do people who are in position of power want more power or pursue more power? Selfish ambition.
Talk about it.
We spoke about this in one of the lessons that we did. People that work hard, they overwork themselves. Oh, Sunday is an opportunity for me to make more money. Let me go to work. Oh, there's overtime on this. Let me go to work. Let me go and do this extra side also. Let me go and do this on side. Let me forgo time with my family. Let me forgo time time to see my parents or time to spend with my kids. Let me forgo all that because I can make more money.
Wow.
It's envy.
Yep.
If I make more money, I can buy this and I can buy that. If I make more money, I can buy that my dream apartment in Runda. Even though when the rains come, you know, that apartment is not really much. But anyways, that's not the point of this.
Wow.
I saw the videos. But anyways, you know, but it's because of envy. People think like that. But look at what it says in verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. according to this scripture, there are two perspectives of wisdom, two types of wisdom. There's the one that is earthly, and there's the one that is heavenly. And you can see the qualities of both. The one that is earthly, the one that the world sees as wisdom, that comes from bitter envy and selfish ambition. It says, the Bible says it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, it says it's pure. It's full of mercy. It's impartial. Sincere. But how do we get this wisdom? Is it by sitting down and thinking and just repeating the word heaven to ourselves every day?
No.
No. How do we get the wisdom? From God's word.
That's right.
From God's word. It's very clear what the world's perspective on wisdom is. According to the scripture, it's clear. And it's also clear what godly perspective of wisdom is as well, too. But which perspective would you go after today? Which perspective would you pursue? You know, my prayer is simple. For our friends that are joining us today, my prayer is simple. My prayer is that you would be able to use the scripture, this scriptures we've gone over, to evaluate yourself. Evaluate your decisions. Ask yourself these questions. What perspective of wisdom have you been pursuing? Is it more like the world? Why do you think strength is what is better? Why do you think, let me go after connections. If I have the right connections, then I'll be able to make it the position that I want to make it into. Or why do you think that, hey, once I gain power, I don't need to care about people and their feelings. I can say whatever I like. Is that the perspective you want to go after, or the perspective that the Word of God teaches? My prayer is simple. My prayer is that from today, we would all, every single one of us,
okay, would
do away with the perspective, with the world's perspective of wisdom, and we will choose to cling to godly wisdom. God bless you, and once again, happy Mother's Day, everybody.